it's sometimes tough when you're in the middle of a crisis to ever think that the crisis will end.
Welcome to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there's some element to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding inefficiencies, strengthening internal processes, or unlocking growth, that can extend the firm beyond its current limitations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele, Marketing Coordinator with MassMEP. Our podcast today is titled Training Goes Virtual, and we are joined by two MassMEP experts, Paul Fortier, our Field Operations Director, and Kristen Benenda, our Western Massachusetts Project Manager. Kristen and Paul are with us today to help educate the manufacturing community on how MassMEP is continuing to provide support and act as a trusted advisor in the times that we unfortunately have come to know as COVID-19. Welcome, Kristen and Paul.
Thank you guys
for joining us today and actually taking time out of your busy schedules to chat with us. So as we've been doing these podcasts over the past couple of weeks, I've asked everyone so far that has joined us, and Kristen, you can give me your answer. Is there anything that has transpired in your lives that you can compare to what this unparalleled, almost universe that we're going through today that we are now calling COVID-19?
That's a great question, but honestly, no, I don't think there's anything that's transpired in my life that's compared to this. However, I have done virtual and remote training in the past at my previous company at Boston Scientific, where we did virtual training for global teams.
Okay, good. How about Paul? How about for you? Have you anything you've ever experienced quite like this before?
Not directly. Nothing like the COVID-19. However, I have weathered the storm of 9/11, and I also weathered two recessions. Both situations, I was in a situation where I was running a manufacturing company, and particularly during 9/11, we really, our global supply chains were basically frozen in many ways because flights and security was changing on us. So again, yeah, not exactly the same thing, but I did experience a few crises in my 30 plus years. So
yeah,
this one is very different.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely, it's a very unique bird is what I would call it or classify it as so far. But Paul, we spoke to MassMEP President John Killam in a previous podcast, and he had stated that MassMEP has not changed their direction, but they have pivoted really in a sense to deliver some much needed resources to the manufacturers and the manufacturing community.
And I agree with that. The direction that we've taken, at least in terms of the operations excellence work that we do with companies, the top line growth and the workforce development are all continuing to be consistent. What we've really changed though, just in the last month or two, is beginning to do more online content and more virtual training. That's probably been the biggest shift.
Yeah, of course, I guess that's for everybody as well. And I know some of the manufacturers even that we work with on a daily basis, I was just saying that, they haven't fully transitioned, but now they're feeling that pressure that they need to. And so they're trying to find alternate ways themselves. And so, with COVID-19, how can MassMEP help the companies with improving their business during, it is so unique that it's, like I said, possibly shutting down, going if they're non-essential, and what are you guys doing to be able to help them to just continue to improve?
Yeah, absolutely. So the MassMEP really is just to kind of take a step back here, we're uniquely positioned, mostly because unlike other manufacturing consulting firms that do the type of improvement work that we do, we're part of that national network of the MEP system, which includes 50 states in the United States, as well as a direct link to NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, and ultimately to the Department of Commerce.
Okay.
So with that, we have access to a lot of new and advanced technologies,
right,
as well as best practices with the other centers in the United States. So you know, as California is going through this as an example, and as Washington State, and as, you know, other parts of the country going through this, they're also experiencing some things that they're trying to transition to. So we can tap into that. And right. I think that gives us a bit of an advantage as we're trying to support the Massachusetts manufacturers. In addition to that, we've got 35 employees here in Massachusetts that are ready and able to help any of the manufacturing companies that are out there. And each employee we have really has significant career experience in manufacturing, helping to grow top bottom line results of these companies. And really, you know, as I had mentioned earlier, you know, I personally have been through some of these recessions and crises. And one of the learnings that I had when I was in that, particularly during 9/11 and during the deep recession of 2008, was they were, while the demand for your products may be a little bit slower, it's a great time to work on the infrastructure improvements of your business. So if you're a company out there that has been able to hold on to a core group of people and you're still going maybe at a slower pace than you were before, start working on some of the things that, you know, you can do that'll prepare you better when this thing clears and we emerge from it.
Yeah. So, I mean, even like today, I know in Kristen and I both, you know, we were getting ready and we're putting this together, and she said, you know, she had a webinar. We're doing the same things ourselves internally. Sorry, you know, working on our own infrastructure. I know I jumped on a couple of different webinars that maybe previously I wouldn't have had the opportunity to do so. And now it's allowing me to gain more knowledge into maybe an area I haven't tapped into yet. And so it really is, it's really helpful. And I know, you know, obviously at the local level with what we have at Mass MEP, and we definitely are getting a lot of full support, you know, at the national level as well, like you were saying, reaching across. And when people visit the Mass MEP website, it's definitely detailed in the listings with the products and services that are offered. And so is it safe to assume that this is all still ongoing? And can you maybe touch to the depth of Mass MEP?
Yeah, so kind of talking again, kind of going back to the theme of infrastructure improvements, to give you just a sense of the breadth of things that we're working on right now that we can do with companies in a remote way. We can help in areas of problem solving, in value stream mapping, lean fundamentals, team building, project management. Those are just some of the examples of things in the operations excellence side. We can also assist companies with strategic growth planning, marketing plans, how to create new ways to acquire new customers for your company, digital marketing, how to help improve sales teams. We can help improve your quality systems. We can teach fundamentals of maintenance excellence. This kind of gives you a sense of the breadth of the work that we can do, and we can do it without even having to be in your face. We can do it through the usage of like Zoom technologies and other platforms.
Absolutely. So touching on that, you know, are you specifically focusing on certain remote communication platforms, or how are you kind of spreading that across?
Yeah, so the platform we're using right now is Zoom technology platform. It really is a fantastic and easy way to remotely connect with people in their homes or at work. We really just need an internet connection and a laptop at the other end, and we can facilitate, you know, that experience with them by sharing the content and the knowledge that we have. For some of us who are first using this, and I'm one of them, I just started using it probably 2-3 weeks ago. It was a little awkward at first, but you know, really after the first few times you use it, you find that it's pretty simple, and it really is an excellent platform.
Right. Kristen, I'm sure you're probably not sleeping there. So what do you want to jump in on this? What are your thoughts?
Sure. I completely agree with Paul. I'm brand new to Zoom, but it is very easy to just be able to pick up and kind of even do self-guided training through the application. But from a facilitator standpoint, I think it's an excellent platform because it allows us to be able to see the participants that are in our trainings and be able to somewhat connect with them, even though we have to be remote at this time.
Yeah. So Kristen, you do a lot of the facilitating for a lot of these trainings. And when you are conducting these remote trainings, are you doing them in the same time frame that you would when you were going in face to face, or have you had to adjust that as well?
Definitely some adjustments. So prior to COVID-19, most of our trainings were done on a full day basis and sometimes spanned a couple of days. However, we have adjusted timeframes with most of our remote trainings that have been converted so far.
Okay.
Not only is it harder to ensure that the participants are able to grasp the concepts and that they're able to stay engaged when we aren't live together in the room or on the shop floor together, but people's lives have just gotten more complicated and they're still learning to adjust right now. So we need to adjust. We do have some clients where people are still working in the operations, but they're doing so in different conditions that would make sitting in an 8-hour training really difficult. Some are working from home. Some have children at home like myself.
Yeah.
Or other issues that prevent people from being able to dedicate a full day to participate in virtual training. So it really depends on which training we're talking about, but we have adjusted the timeframes based on what makes sense and where those natural breaking points really occur within the content and the topics that we're covering. So for example, Paul brought up value stream mapping. We typically conduct this over 2 full days, but we've broken this class into 4 4-hour sessions, give or take. So probably 3 to 4 hours each session. And each session is a mix of lecture, discussion, group breakouts, as well as some games or activities to ensure that participants are fully understanding the subject matter and that our messages are being delivered as clear as they would if we were live face to face.
Yeah, so you're doing the best that you possibly can with what you have in front of you, keeping them engaged and keeping the learning as entertaining for them as possible. And I'm sure it's because you want to make sure that you're keeping the value of the product and the service of this training that you're putting out there for them. Now what, are there certain tools that you use to conduct the remote trainings?
Well, as Paul discussed a few minutes ago, we're using Zoom as our main technology platform. With Zoom, we're able to have video discussions, chat with or poll the participants, but primarily we're able to share our training materials, whether it be Microsoft applications such as PowerPoint, and we're sharing slides and the content that's on the slides as we would if we were in a conference room with them.
Right.
Or if we're sharing our screen, but we're using another web-based application such as IdeaFlip, which is something new to me, but it's a great tool that allows the group to be able to collaborate and brainstorm using a virtual post-it note board, if you will.
Okay.
And within Zoom, there's the feature of whiteboards, as well as the ability to break the training participants into smaller groups and do some breakout sessions where they can use these virtual whiteboards to collaborate with each other on whatever group assignment or activity we've given to them.
Okay, so that's great. So then how about tools for companies? Do they need to go out and, you know, do they need to get all these different things as well? Or is it a pretty simple process for them on their end?
Definitely a simple process. So really employees would just need internet access, whether it be in a conference room at their facility or, you know, via a laptop or PC at their home. Anyone that signed up for our trainings would be sent a Zoom invitation to the training, and with one click, they enter our remote virtual training room. So in most cases, once you're logged into the Zoom meeting, the rest is really just driven by the facilitator. So ease of use was and still is one of our requirements as we began and are still pivoting our training into this remote and virtual training.
Okay, that's great. And I know also, you know, today there's a lot of the companies are opening up internet access so that companies can access, or individuals at home, obviously with schools going online. So that does open up the doors a little bit more for people that maybe now, like you stated, have to work from home. Maybe they had internet before, maybe it wasn't as strong, but more opportunities are available, which makes it pretty easy. So Paul, I'm going to pin back over to you. So do you have some examples of the remote training topics? I know we kind of touched on some of them that your Mass MEP is currently delivering.
Yes, active right now in the month of April. We've got a number of clients that we're working with in the topics. Some of them we've already mentioned, value stream mapping, doing that with 2 or 3 clients. We've got problem solving with another one. We've got building a lean team that we're working with a consortium of companies on. We've got project management, a one-day program that we're working with a company. We're ongoing with marketing and strategic planning with actually quite a few businesses. And we've also got ISO system that we're working on with companies right now. So those are just a few examples of ones that we're active right now in the month of April with.
Yeah, so, and I have personal touch with the ISO training. You know, we have the Small Business Direct Access Program through the Massachusetts Training Exchange. And they have, usually there's a cap of 15,000 that they put on top for companies to be able, that are small companies that are 100 employees or less. They've lifted that cap and now they've expanded that. So a lot of these small companies are able to have the opportunities to really take advantage right now during this time for the training. And we actually are doing an ISO training. And to be honest, it's been pretty successful so far. You know, other than maybe some slower internet or whatever, you know, along those lines, technology-wise, that we really can't tap into. But the response has been fantastic. People are really engaged with it and think, you know, are thankful that we can still offer this to them. And, you know, for us, I think it's important. And I know we're all pretty thankful because we seem to be as busy today as we were when we were all together under one roof. So This is a good avenue for us to keep pushing forward. So we've pretty much touched on a lot of different things here. I definitely think the virtual training and where MassMEP is taking this is the right road ahead. So in closing, are there any thoughts, maybe Kristen, that you might have for things that we've missed or, you know, just your thoughts in general on moving forward in all this?
Sure. First of all, thanks for inviting me here to talk about the changes that we're doing to our trainings. I guess in closing, I look forward to the day when we can be conducting live face-to-face training again. But in the meantime, I am excited about the changes. And in some cases, we've made some improvements to our current trainings. And this is allowing us to continue to be connected with the companies that need us, as well as reflect internally on our current offerings and figure out ways that we can spice it up and, you know, take our own personal trainings to the next level.
Yeah. Paul, how about for you?
Well, you know, it's sometimes tough when you're in the middle of a crisis to ever think that the crisis will end, and it will.
Yeah. Good point.
We all will emerge from this crisis. When exactly, we're not sure, but it will happen. And so really, you know, I can't emphasize enough, really now is an opportune time to work on some of the infrastructure of your companies. And again, we can work with a core group of people and we don't have to be right there at your facility. We'd love to help.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, definitely taking those moments where we usually get lost in our day-to-day and now we're opening up some avenues that we don't have the opportunities to usually see. And as we've slowed down a lot. So I want to thank you both for taking the time out of your day to support the message behind MassMEP and, of course, our continued support as a trusted advisor. I know that MassMEP looks ahead to getting back to the day-to-day, but we are embracing the evolution as an advisor in this current environment, similar to like what you both have touched on today. So thank you all for joining us on the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. Be sure to check us out at massmep.org and subscribe to our podcast channels on either iTunes or Spotify.
Thank you so much for listening to MassMEP's Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. To listen to more of MassMEP's podcasts or for more information on how MassMEP, your resource for manufacturing greatness, can help you, please visit massmep.org.